Jordan with the Calvary Assembly of God. Battle lines being drawn over who will replace retiring Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. Vermont Democrat Patrick Leahy predicting the bench for the fall term.
It doesn't require 67. I don't think there's going to be any kind of a filibuster.
But some Republicans not ruling out a filibuster if the nominee is not perceived as being mainstream.
We have a nominee that evidences a philosophy of judges know best, that they can amend the Constitution by saying it has evolved, then we're going to have a big fight about that.
Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions, both appearing on NBC's Meet the Press. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
It's 12:03, our top story locally this afternoon. Miami police now have a person of interest they want to talk to about the shooting that killed a little girl and seriously injured a woman in Little Haiti Friday night.
Miami police say they have no motive for the shooting that killed 7-year-old Janya Ware, but they do believe someone intentionally shot an assault rifle at the car Janya rode with her mother, a friend, and another child.
This car was clearly the target. The individuals fired a large amount of shots at his car.
Sergeant Consensor Gonzalez points out the little girl was likely not the target. Janya's mother cried uncontrollably as her aunt described her as a happy girl who did well in school.
The teacher loved her. They love her.
Police are looking for 27-year-old Israel Jean, a man they say has a criminal history, is well known in the neighborhood where the shooting happened, and who could have helpful information. Donna Rapato, News Radio 610 WIOD.
Our other top story, a South Florida man remains in jail awaiting a court hearing charged with the fatal stabbing of an NSU professor. Police have charged 43-year-old Randy Tundador Sr. with armed robbery, murder, arson, and kidnapping in the murder of Professor Joseph Morsi. Morsi was stabbed to death during a home invasion robbery last week. Miami-Dade schools preparing for a massive teacher sick out tomorrow. Rumors have swirled that many teachers will not attend school to protest proposed legislation on teacher pay and tenure on Senate Bill 6. Governor Charlie Crist is getting tremendous pressure to veto that bill.
Well, you know, the governor always says he listens to his boss, the people of Florida, and what we're hearing, it's an overwhelming number of calls and emails that he's getting urging him to veto.
Florida Education Association spokesman Mark Pudlow says the bill that ties teacher pay to student performance needs to be tossed out. Under Florida law, teachers cannot go on strike, but there is no law against teachers taking sick or personal time. There's no indication from Broward teachers whether they're planning anything similar. The governor has until Friday to sign that bill. Next update at 12:30, condo craze and HOAs up next. I'm Randy Lance, News Radio 610 WIOD.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matter. Personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Ensuring your safety and protecting your property is what Kent Security Services does best. Kent Security has been serving South Florida since 1982 and is a total security solutions provider, perfectly suited for gated communities and high-rise condominiums with door and vehicle access control, closed-circuit television, gates and gate arms, and state-of-the-art biometric systems with facial recognition that could actually eliminate the need for a live guard. Kent Security's team of professionals includes armed and unarmed officers with medical training and certifications. Kent uses IP cameras to track the activity at every stationary post and GPS to track roving guards' activity. For your free security analysis, call 1-800-273-KENT, extension 224. Visit on the web at kentsecurity.com. Kent Security Services, providing uncommon security excellence. Call 1-800-273-KENT.
Condo Craze and HOAs is intended as a resource guide for education, information, and entertainment purposes and is not intended to supply specific legal advice. The information that you hear should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a professional attorney. The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based on advertising or the information you hear today.
It's Condo Craze and HOAs, sponsored by attorney Eric Glazer, founder of Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm helping associations and owners throughout the state of Florida. If you'd like to chime in on the show today, we're taking all your questions, all your comments, 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T Wireless customers. And you simply must check out the show's new website, CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com. You can learn lots more about the show. You can write in your questions and comments. Listen to all of our past shows. You can click on our Facebook page and see who the show's sponsors are. Visit all their websites. And that list is growing. Quite a few sponsors for the show. Quite a marketplace for our condo and HOA listeners to shop for all their association needs, like all in one place. So, where are we going today? How are we going to stir the pot?
Yeah, isn't it funny, Jerry, that with all the important stuff that we talk about all the time here, week in and week out, the telephone call that probably created the most controversy last week was the one by the guy who wanted to know if a condo can prevent someone from wearing a Speedo by the pool.
I took that call on purpose. You know, I can see what the calls are here.
Let me tell you, I can't tell you how many people mentioned that call to me this week. So I hit that there's not a single case in Florida that has ever dealt with someone's right to wear a Speedo or go topless, as Christy mentioned, while sitting at the condo pool. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to create Eric's law on the matter. Here it is. Unless you've worked out with our sponsor, Body by Cruz, for at least 1 year, Speedos are forbidden and tops are required. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, there you go. The ayes have it. We have a new condo and HOA law, ladies and gentlemen, right?
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if passing a new law was that easy? I'd be happy. Look at how long it's taken for any new condo or HOA laws to get passed right now, Eric.
Yeah, well, believe it or not.
Well, they should just let us do it,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, there you go. Just
that's
let, you know.
Right, that right there is the scary part. I can't imagine you guys deciding the law. I think I might. I don't know.
Whole new jacuzzi legislation.
A whole new jacuzzi dress code going
exactly.
on here.
Well, believe it or not, it looks like there are two new bills that are actually moving quickly through the legislature, and they're soon going to find their way to the governor's desk and become law. And just by the way, last night I had the pleasure of actually chatting with Governor Crist while dining at Joe's, and came in, worked the room. He certainly looked great, you know, despite the big problem he's having on his hands this week regarding whether or not he should sign the new teacher pay scale legislation. But he looked good, and again, that's House Bill 561 and Senate Bill 840 that will find their way to this governor's desk probably by the end of the next week, actually. And real quickly, here's some highlights of the bills. If you remember, we discussed this on prior shows. Bulk buyers of condo units are not going to be liable for any construction defects or any other obligations of the original developer. And here, again, the thought is that this is somehow going to stimulate new sales to investors, and they're going to want to buy more than one unit. And the other big measure in the bill is that at least the House bill prevents condo associations from requiring owners to purchase any casualty insurance whatsoever.
Can they extend that bill to prevent the government forcing health insurance on people?
Yeah.
That'd be
good,
pretty nice.
Good. One more time. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
There you go. Obama's plan is done. See how easy this can be? Really, really
wow,
nice.
I like this.
All right, now, actually, the deadline to force condo associations to add sprinkler systems to their indoor common areas would also be extended to 2019 instead of 2014, and that's really controversial measure right now.
It's not controversial, Eric. I am totally in favor of it because that provision alone would, you know, prevent the spending of hundreds of thousands of dollars to install the sprinkler systems in the common areas by 2014. I mean, we're already in a downward spiral of foreclosures. The only way to stop it is to prevent, you know, the special assessments that would arise, stuff like that. The problem is, I agree with Governor Chris a little bit, too, in that, you know, he's been against extending the deadline because it's a health issue. I mean, it's a health and safety issue for the condos, possibly. But in regards to getting our economy forward, I think maybe it might be a good thing. 5 years, it's been this long.
Yeah, put it on hold for a little while.
Exactly.
At least,
yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Can you put a price tag on safety on one hand? And on the other hand, how many people in Florida over the last few years in high-rise fires?
Yeah,
have there been any?
No, probably none. That's true.
If there were, they were usually confined to that one unit that actually,
right?
Because they're built so well nowadays.
Well, maybe we should put this on the back burner for a while until, you know, the economy turns around a little bit and people can afford to install these sprinkler systems. Because, you know, what if it puts them over the edge?
Right.
Exactly.
And it will.
You know, and some it will, not all, but some, you know, that are on. They're on the fence anyway.
Right.
You know,
people simply
head barely above water.
We're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not maybe millions of dollars, to actually install sprinklers in some condos.
I mean, yeah,
you're going to do that right now.
I say wait.
They're done. But, you know, I just learned something about you, Jerry.
What's that?
Probably neither you or your family own a fire sprinkler company, because by most accounts, they're the only people that are in favor of actually extending the deadline to the installation.
Probably.
So, yeah, they're in line to make millions and millions of dollars, actually.
I do actually have to point out a point, though, Eric. The bill extends an exemption to condos that are less than 4 stories in height, and they have exterior means, say if it's open, if it's an open walkway like a catwalk, from having to install the fire alarm system.
Right. Now that law has always been that while certain condos were able to vote against the installation of a sprinkler system, no matter what, you couldn't vote against the installation of an alarm system. So now perhaps the condos are going to have a right to actually vote out an alarm system as well, and they won't have to install it. So even though so many associations couldn't afford it, they were always forced to install it. But again, maybe now the rest won't have to. Let's see what Governor Crist does. There's actually a lot on his plate in the next month.
Now, where I live, we've had the fire alarm system for many years.
Right.
The 4-story buildings with catwalks.
Right.
You know, there's no closed hallways. But we've had it's probably been close to 20 years that the fire alarm system has been in there. There's a little thing in each unit.
I'm not too embarrassed to admit it. I lost a case a couple of years ago that went up actually to the Third District Court of Appeals, even though the condo owners voted to waive the installation of a fire alarm system, the Third District Court of Appeals says, nope, you can't vote to waive that. You can only vote to waive the sprinkler system.
And
so
actually,
they were forced
to
install it.
I agree, because, I mean, how many places have you gone where if you don't hear that fire alarm system, you might have been stuck in the building? How many lives is that preventing? I understand maybe the sprinklers, because if you're given enough warning, you can get out. But the actual alarm is a little tough.
Well, let's get to the phones. We've got Vincent on line one. Hi, Vincent. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Hey, Vincent. Good. How are you?
Excellent. Hey, I have a quick question about management contracts. And I own a couple condos in Florida, specifically on South Beach. Won't mention any names. But one of them has a contract with the management company where one of the unit owners in the building actually owns the management company as well.
Okay.
And the board has they've really sucked the power, or they don't pay attention to any board decisions. I just happen to be on the board there, and you know, the management company is making all the contracts. Whatever the board says, you know, they'll figure out some kind of legal reason or propose some legal reason why it can't be done. We approved a 2009 budget that. And then they passed the budget that eventually came out was a totally different budget, one that the board didn't even approve.
Really?
And we're kind of getting the short end of the stick.
Right.
At least.
I can tell you that.
That being said, we're just, you know, they got a 3-year contract signed by the previous president that went into foreclosure. And so we're looking to see what can be done.
Okay. First thing, there's nothing necessarily illegal or wrong about the association signing a contract with a management company whose owner lives in the property. Okay, certainly nothing wrong with that, especially if they're licensed and if they're providing licensed personnel and if they're doing a good job. Okay, so in and of itself, that doesn't create a problem for me. What does create a problem for me is, and I can tell you that Paul Kaplan and Robert White from KW Management spoke about this on our show. I think it was maybe week 2 or week 3. When a management company is hired, they're not there to take care of everything in total. I mean, the board of directors still has an obligation to act as a board of directors. They still make the decisions regarding the condo. They do it with the help of the management company and the assistance of the management company, but the management company doesn't make the decisions. The main decisions are still left to the board of directors. I mean, that's the bottom line. So, you know, the management company may need to, in your situation, take a step back. The board may need to be reminded about the job that they need to do, and perhaps may want to think about getting a new management company if and when that situation comes up when the three-year contract is done.
Yeah, do you have any recommendations if you need to get out of a management contract, like just off the top of your head or no?
There's no way to do that without actually taking a look at the management contract itself. Some allow you to get out, and we don't allow our clients to actually execute contracts with management companies that don't give them the opportunity to get out before the three-year period is done. Some allow you just to get out with cause. Some allow you to get out or don't allow you to get out even if you have cause, because you have to give the management company a cure period. You have to let them know what the problem is, and then they have a right to correct the situation. So there's really no way for me to tell you what to do without taking a look at your contract first.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for your information.
You got it. Appreciate the call, Vincent.
Thanks, Vincent.
Bye-bye.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back and take more of your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T Wireless customers. Or you can email the show at any time. We'll get it right here in the studio, condocraze@wiod.com. It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Once elected, have no idea how time-consuming it would be. They learned quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Save now at Walmart. Get 24 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper for only $5 each, plus thousands of rollbacks throughout the store. Hurry in for huge savings. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Prices not valid in Wisconsin and Oklahoma.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today. And with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
Has your American dream turned into an American nightmare? If you are behind on your mortgage and think there is no way out, think again. Homeowners Helpline is dedicated to keep families in their homes. This is not another loan modification. Banks are trying to confuse you by making you wait months before they approve a modification while they're preparing for foreclosure. Stay in your home. Fight back now. Call Homeowners Helpline at 1-800-761-3942. That's 1-800-761-3942. Or visit StopGreedyBanks.com.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone's trying to break into my house.
Can you protect your family and possessions?
Oh, I'm glad you're here, officer.
I see they didn't get in.
East Coast Windows and Doors, a professional install using a quality product. PGT WindGuard impact-resistant windows and doors.
East Coast Windows said not just effortless hurricane protection.
Because we all like happy endings, you need WindGuard. Visit eastcoastwindows.com. That's eastcoastwindows.com. Mention this ad to receive free standard tint upgrade. Financing available.
Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. Be a part of the show. Call us at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T Wireless customers. Or you can email us anytime at condocraze@wiod.com. And if you don't want to talk on the radio and you don't feel like emailing us, you can always call the offices of Glazer & Associates anytime during the week, 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE. I'm Jerry Hester, along with attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. Another questionable Sunday outside in South Florida.
Not looking too good outside.
Everybody should be calling us because it's too cloudy to go. Questionable Sunday outside in South Florida.
Not looking too good outside.
Everybody should be calling us because it's too cloudy to go to the beach.
Right. They're probably out there fixing their roofs, you know, because the rain is stinks.
Just you. Oh, let's talk to Mark in Deerfield Beach. Hi, Mark. Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you, Mark?
Can you hear me okay? I think my cell phone wants to phase out. Is everything all right with you?
We hear you fine, loud and clear.
Okay, good. My question is pertaining to the fire alarm systems on the four-story condominiums.
Right.
So what's going on with that? I live in a two-story condominium, and they're telling us we have to put in this fire alarm system into our individual apartments as well.
Okay, let me be clear. Right now what the statute says is that the condo associations have a right or actually must install sprinkler systems in their common areas, and they have to do it by 2014, okay?
Okay.
But they have the right to opt out in certain circumstances. Now, that's for a fire sprinkler system. Fire alarm system, however, I can tell you that associations never had the option of voting against it. Therefore, they were always forced to install an alarm system if your local fire marshal said install it. The new legislation that's pending, however, may give associations that are less than four stories in height and that also have an exterior means of egress, you know, like catwalks, that they wouldn't have to install a fire alarm system. So, again, if you're two stories, you wouldn't have to do it if you have, like, open catwalks.
What exactly is an open catwalk?
In other words, when you walk outside of the front door to your home, are you outdoors?
Well, there's a hallway.
And is the hallway enclosed?
It goes from one end of the building to the other.
Yeah, then that's you probably wouldn't be affected even if the legislation goes through, and you're probably still going to be required to install that alarm system.
Okay, well, we have to be required to put it inside the individual apartments just be the hallway?
Generally, if that's what's required by your local fire marshal, yes, inside the interior of the units as well.
Because that's where I have a problem. I really don't like anybody coming in my apartment and stuff like that. And, you know, why don't I just put it in the hallway? I can go with that.
Yeah, little pun on words, but this fire, the whole fire issue is a hot issue. And I can tell you that there's a lot of legislation pending. And as we indicated earlier in the show, Governor Crist is under a lot of pressure to kind of give the condo owners a break. But we don't know if it's going to go through because, again, he's putting safety first. He feels he has to answer to the firefighters. If there's a fire, they'd rather, you know, go into a fire with the fire sprinklers running and the alarms running than with nothing at all. It might save a firefighter's life.
Well, you know, it's like this here, too. I mean, the building I live in was built in 74. I mean, it's solid brick. There's no fire hazard there.
Right.
Say if somebody had a fire in one apartment, I seriously doubt it would go from one to the other.
Well,
the
fire marshal actually has wide discretion and would be able to actually grant exemptions in certain circumstances. But, again, a lot of this is in the air right now. We're probably going to have some answers within the next month or two.
But it's like, you know, our kind of association's already going through with this. They say they're going to start installing them within, like, you know, a month or two from now.
Right, and if the contract's already signed by your association, you're not getting out of it anyway, probably, without paying for it. So I wish you luck, Mark. All right, but hang in there another month or two.
Thanks.
Okie doke. Thanks for the call.
Eric, because when he was saying how concrete structures don't go from room to room to room,
mm-hmm.
in the association that I actually used to live in when I was in law school, one of the biggest buildings we had, it was only a three-story building, a cat knocked over a little candle or something, and it was on the top floor. It lit the entire building on fire.
Really?
The only thing that saved some of the older residents was the actual fire alarm system. We didn't have sprinklers, but there was a system set up. So
yeah, and just because it's a brick building, there's not brick between the units.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's 2x4s and sheetrock and insulation between
drywall.
That's it. Well, sheetrock, drywall, same thing. Yeah. But
you can tell Eric doesn't do construction. Huh?
Yeah, well, neither do I. But that's you know that's a whole nother.
All right,
that's a whole other problem.
Right. Lots more news on the foreclosure front this week. An interesting report was released by the Florida Realtors this week showing that there's usually more than one factor at issue when someone goes into foreclosure. In other words, it's not just because of a bad loan, but it may be because of a bad loan, let's say, and a recent job loss. The bottom line is they say that there are normally two factors present in each foreclosure case. And the report came out with some interesting and surprising facts. First is, foreclosure wasn't just affecting people with small incomes. More than 20% of the homes that went into foreclosure actually had household incomes ranging from $50,000 to $75,000 annually.
And the craziest part is one in every four of those foreclosures is against a college graduate.
You know, so it's obviously it's not just the poor and uneducated who thought they were going to buy condo units and flip them for a profit. Everybody was trying to get in on the gold rush there that was going on. You know, it makes perfect sense to me, you know, that people with advanced degrees who thought they were smart and had some money were the ones who got hit the hardest.
Right. Of course.
You know, because they were high-end condos.
Of course. Remember when we spoke about whether or not there was a moral obligation to repay your mortgage? The newspaper ran a story about a lawyer who said he lost everything and he was going to feed his family first before paying back the mortgage. So, yes, not uncommon that people that lost the most were the people that actually had the most money. And, you know, they had the advanced degree and had the ability, quite frankly, to borrow a real lot of money for condos that they simply couldn't afford.
Usually it was zero down, might I mention that.
Yeah, right, but exactly.
It's also funny because according to that same report, the foreclosure crisis didn't just hit the people who bought properties to flip them for a profit, as we were saying. 35% of the homes that have been in foreclosure, people own for 10 years or more. Wow. So there were actually
that, that's surprising. Now, that percentage is probably a lot of the job loss.
Well,
apart.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
And those are the people who suddenly found that their homes had equity in them and took out large second mortgages that they didn't have the ability to repay.
That true. Right. When the bottom fell out, they weren't worth anything anymore.
All right, but before we go to a break here, bottom of the hour, the best statistic of the day, 92% of foreclosed Floridians were married, while only 8% were single.
Well, maybe it's only, maybe single people only buy about 8% of the homes.
Yeah. Oh, come
on. You think?
Yeah,
could mean that.
I don't think so.
But
you don't
it could
think
also
so?
Mean, if you want to own a home or stay in your current home, you have to get rid of your spouse.
Stop it, guys.
But that's the topic for
another
show.
This is coming from two men, first of all. May I say the woman does not believe in that.
I have absolutely no comment on the matter. It's 1229 on News Radio 610 WIOD. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and take more of your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T wireless customers. Get you through to condo craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD.
Good afternoon. It's 1230. I'm Randy Lance with our top local story. Thousands of teachers planning on not showing up to school tomorrow. We'll have the details coming up, but first, checking with Terry Griffin in the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel Casino Traffic Center.
Thanks, Randy. State Road 84 eastbound at Hiatus. You have a new accident there. Also, 95 northbound approaching Broward Boulevard, a crash off to the side. It has been there for a bit. And looking at Miami-Dade County, still dealing with construction. The Snapper Creek westbound after the South Dixie. All lanes are closed in that area. Eastbound too, Snapper Creek closed at Galloway. Next update at 1 o'clock. I'm Terry Griffin, News Radio 610 WIOD, 24-hour traffic.
We'll find ourselves in some wet weather for the next couple of days. A 70% chance for scattered showers and storms today. Breezy and close to 80. The wet weather continues tonight and tomorrow. A 40% chance for additional showers and storms, high near 80. I'm Lisa Love from the Weather Channel for News Radio 610 WIOD.
83 degrees in Tamarack under mostly cloudy skies. 81 in Miami Springs. It's 1231. Senate Bill 6 that ties teacher pay to student performance loathed by teachers and their union. And now the Miami-Dade School District is preparing for a rumored teacher sick out tomorrow. Mark Pudlow with the Florida Education Association hopes this governor rejects it.
Well, sure, it's a bad piece of legislation, and given that the House and Senate didn't allow any amendments on it, didn't allow the bill to be changed.
Now, under Florida law, teachers cannot go on strike, but there is no law against teachers taking sick or personal time. There's no indication Broward teachers were planning anything similar. Governor Crist is still deciding whether to sign or veto that sweeping education reform bill. He has until Friday. Miami police are looking for a man they believe could lead to the gunman or gunmen who killed a 7-year-old girl in Little Haiti Friday and left a woman in critical condition.
The 7-year-old Janya Ware's mother sobbed while the little girl's aunt told reporters Janya was a bright girl who loved going to school.
She was loved by many friends.
family, grandma.
Janya was in a car with her mother, a friend, and another child when someone opened fire with an assault rifle. Miami Police Sergeant Consensor Gonzalez says the shooting was not an accident, though he does not believe the girl was the target.
Any type of a murder is a horrible thing. It's particularly worse when the life of a 7-year-old child is taken.
Police need to find 27-year-old Israel Jean, a person of interest, noting he has a criminal history. Donna Rapato, News Radio 610 WIOD.
The plane carrying the body of Polish President Lech Kaczynski is on its way back to Poland. Poles mourned in unison this morning to their president and the 95 other people killed in yesterday's plane crash in western Russia. In cities throughout the country, people stopped for 2 minutes of silence. In Warsaw, hundreds gathered at an army cathedral for a mass. Well, there's no word what caused the death of actress Dixie Carter yesterday in Los Angeles. Her husband, actor Hal Holbrook, calls it a terrible blow and asks that the family's privacy be respected. Dixie Carter was best known for playing Julia Sugarbaker in the TV series Designing Women. She was 70 years old. Next update at 1 o'clock. Randy Lance, News Radio 610 WIOD.
Are you carrying around extra weight that's stopping you from enjoying life? If you're ready to take the first step to getting your life back, South Florida Weight Loss Surgery Center can help. South Florida Weight Loss Surgery Center works with patients who are in need of weight loss through bariatric surgery, also called weight loss surgery. Experience has proven that less than 5% of the seriously overweight or morbidly obese population really benefit from non-surgical weight reduction programs. Dr. Emil Matei has a proven record of successful outcomes. South Florida Weight Loss Surgery Center offers a variety of procedures and techniques, including laparoscopic adjustable gastric band, laparoscopic Roux-en-Y gastric bypass, laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy, Rose procedure, and revisional surgery with insurance and self-pay options. For details about the next free weight loss surgery information session, call South Florida Weight Loss Surgery Center at 954-889-0218. That's South Florida Weight Loss Surgery Center, 954-889-0218.
So, enjoy sitting around listening to Condo Craze and HOAs? Good. But when the show is done and you'd like to get in the shape of your life, get up and get to it with Cruise. Body by Cruise is the personal trainer of the area's best hard bodies. Their training and techniques will help you get results like never before. And Cruise makes it easy. If your home or condo has Body by Cruise comes to you. The hassles of signing up and going to a gym often don't pan out. So Body by Cruise trains in the privacy of your own home. Cruise has trained well-known fitness gyms like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Click the website to see more. Bodybycruise.com. That's bodybycruise.com. Or call 305-766-6877. You can get in the shape of your life. You can get results. All you need is the proper training, motivation, and know-how. And that's what you get with personal trainer Body by Cruise. Click bodybycruise.com and they'll come to you. Or call now 305-766-6877. Ask Eric. He's been training with Cruise for over 4 years.
Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. for Cleveland Clinic Florida's Medical Minute. This week, renowned neurologist Dr. Tarnam Khan will discuss some of the symptoms, effects, and treatments of Parkinson's disease. That's Cleveland Clinic Florida's Medical Minute.
Need to file an insurance claim for your condo? Need help getting the insurance money you're entitled to? Florida Loss Public Adjusters want you to know they can handle your insurance claim, whether it's a claim for the entire condominium community or just one unit. If it has any damage such as fire or water, or if it suffered roof damage from winds like from Hurricane Wilma, call 1-888-FLA-LOSS or visit floridaloss.com. The experienced team at Florida Loss Public Adjusters handle new claims, denied claims, and can even review old closed claims just to make sure you were paid properly. And the best part, there's never a fee unless they collect you money. Florida Loss Public Adjusters specialize in adjusting condominium communities and homeowners association claims and are on your side. To get the insurance money you're entitled to, contact us today at 1-888-FLA-LOSS. That's 888-352-5677 or visit floridaloss.com.
Florida Loss Public Adjusters. We're your insurance adjuster. Michael McMahon. Manical license number E109802.
Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD. We're taking your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 for AT&T Wireless customers. We do have a couple of lines open, so you still got plenty of time to get through. You can always email the show at condocraze@wiod.com. I'm Jerry Hester, as always. Besides attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips, and we've stirred the pot a little bit today.
Yes.
But let's see what the callers have to say, shall we? It's Sandra in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Sandra. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Yes, I would like to know if a roofing contract acquired in a closed board meeting with no bids on the table, and the meeting was posted, but it was not posted that they would be voting on roofs, and many members of the board were not there, and some members actually walked out because of not agreeing with the vote on this contract. Is the contract legal?
Well, if it's signed by the board of directors, I can tell you he's going to hold and bind your association to that contract. Let me ask you this. Do you know if the value of the roofing contract exceeded 5% of the budget?
Yes, it did.
It did. Well, then that needed to be competitively bid. Your association was required to go out and get several bids on that before signing. But the reality of the situation is, even if they sign the contract without going through the right channels, without bidding it out, and without even doing it at a board meeting, I can tell you that it's going to be difficult to get out of the contract because that roofing company is going to do everything that it can to hold your association to it.
Okay.
So did your board do the wrong thing? Absolutely. Should they have had a private meeting, an open public meeting about it? Sure. Should they have posted notice about it? Absolutely. Should they have bid out the project? Absolutely. But even though they didn't do any of those things, it doesn't mean that they have the right now to cancel the contract, because they're going to be held to that contract by the roofer.
Now, is the board responsible for this if they knew that they should have had bids on the table? Are they liable for the damages by homeowners?
Well, the reality is, what are the damages? Is your association going to have to do a roofing repair work anyway?
No, they're not. It's an absolutely job that does not need to be done. It's the homeowner's responsibilities to do the roof.
It's the homeowner's responsibility to do the roof.
Uh-huh.
So, well, that may give you some grounds to get out of the contract. In other words, if the contract might be what's called impossible to perform, because, in other words, your neighbor can't sign a contract to fix your roof, and maybe that's the type of situation we have here. If the associations don't own the roof, and if it's a responsibility of the actual homeowner, then maybe the contract you get out of on a legal doctrine called impossibility. It may be a way to get out.
Okay, impossibility to perform.
Yeah, exactly. Okay?
Thank you very much for the information.
You got it. Thanks, Sandra.
Thanks, Sandra.
Eric, it's actually pretty funny because a lot of the contractors, I guess, nowadays are running into this problem, a lot of the roofing contractors and whatnot, and they're submitting and actually requiring, as part of the contract process, a resolution from the board.
Yeah.
That to be signed by the board members saying, you know, we all agree that we voted on this, it was done in accordance with our bylaws, and we're approving the contract.
That's what I would absolutely advise any contractor who signs a contract with a board. I think it's a good idea. But again, they're probably stuck in this situation, probably no way out. This is more common than you may believe, Sandra. Happens all the time.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it common that the homeowners are responsible for a common area as important as the roof? Probably your most important and most expensive common area?
In condos, the association is normally responsible for the roof. The situation that is iffy is in like townhome situations.
Right.
Where sometimes the owner's responsible, sometimes the association's responsible. Got to look at the doc.
As we all
look at Christy.
I am not an owner, though, might I say. I'm just renting right now, so I'm not responsible at all.
Let's talk to John in Miami. Hi, John. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
I'm taking my call. I have two units in a 210-unit condo I had them for a long time, and they're rented. And now the condo association came up with a new rule that any new owners cannot rent the unit. In other words, if I want to buy a third unit, I have to live in it. Can they do that?
Okay, that's a good question. Here's the rule on prohibiting rentals, okay? If your documents do not prohibit the renting of units, and now suddenly the board wants to make a new amendment that would prohibit you from renting a unit, then it's got to be done by way of an amendment to the declaration, right? Not simply, remember we spoke about this last week, can't just do it by a board rule. You got to actually have a vote of the unit owners and amend your declaration. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the law says that it doesn't apply to any unit owner who doesn't vote in favor of that amendment. So it wouldn't even apply to you in the first place if you didn't vote in favor of it. So the answer to the question is no, they can't stop you if you don't vote in favor of it.
But if you purchase the third unit and they've complied with everything before you purchase it, if they've actually, you know, done the required 14-day notice for the amendment process and sent you copies of the proposed amendments and they voted, if you don't yet own that third unit and you try to buy one now, you're going to be bound to those new rules.
Right.
Okay. So a new purchaser, you know, kind of rents it either way.
Well, the question, did they actually amend the declaration? That's what we have to find out.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, that's an important question because Christie's 100% right. If they actually did amend it and went through the process of getting the unit owners to vote on it, then yes. Okay, well, that's an important question because Christie's 100% right. If they actually did amend it and went through the process of getting the unit owners to vote on it, then yes, it would apply to your third unit. But it wouldn't apply to units one and two.
Just to emphasize that, if you, the two units you own, you actually specifically have to sign the proxy and say, no, I do not vote in favor for it. Because the way that everything's been interpreted, if you just don't submit your proxy, you're deemed to have waived your right. Everybody, if I'm telling this to all my clients, I don't want this rental restriction, or no, I don't believe in this pet restriction, you need to sign the paperwork and say absolutely no, a big no, and sign your name and submit. That's the only way you're going to be deemed as grandfathered in on those situations.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, John.
Thanks a lot, John. We have a couple of lines open. Give us a call at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397. Let's talk to Norman in North Miami Beach. Hi, Norman. You're on Condo Craze in HO.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I have a very unusual situation. I'm president of a condo, and we had one apartment where all people and their heirs died. There were nobody, and there's no mortgage. After the arrears got pretty, of course, went for foreclosure. Unfortunately, things happened which we found retroactively, which are amazing. Some lawyer came in and he, an order on petition, we never had a chance to appear, claiming that all he wanted was the right to sell the apartment, to go in, change the locks, advertise it, and be the representative. Mm-hmm. And he was granted that all in one motion, one order.
Well, did you actually see a court order? In other words, was that person appointed the personal representative of the deceased party's estate?
Yes, yes. Okay. I saw a court else appeared. Apparently, it was like without ex parte. No, nobody else was around there. We didn't even know about it. The second time...
Well, think about it.
Foreclosure.
Right.
Gave us the foreclosure. And this guy applied to that court, but it was advertised and everything, to that court to set aside that sale.
Right.
Now, we understand, the judge know what's happening.
Right.
And our own attorney said they could. Oh, don't bother going down. We were going to go down. So agreed to that. That same day, removal of it. In other words, the auction was canceled.
Okay.
So it was taken off the list. The question is, how can these things be done ex parte? I mean, tell the judge what the situation is.
Well, I don't know. Did you file some sort of an appearance in the probate action? You know,
all found out belatedly. I did this by constantly requesting our attorney to give us this information.
Norman, I also had one quick question. He actually named in the foreclosure action, because this is a sticking point right now going on in a lot of courtrooms, and I'm seeing it with the judges. They're actually arguing that you have to not only name the estate, but you have to name the trustee or the personal representative of the estate as part of the foreclosure action. I've had to amend two documents to actual foreclosures based on that lately. Because they're of the opinion that not only do you have to just serve the trustee, which is probably this person, the personal representative, but you also have to serve the estate, and then you have to serve the trustee and name them separately. Did you guys do that?
Well, there was no, at the time of the application, as a matter of fact, the application looks very strange. It has us as the plaintiff and a whole list of parties.
Right, right.
As defendants, tremendous list.
Norman, just let me say one thing, if you don't mind. You understand that it might be in the condo association's best interest right now to sit back and do nothing and let the estate try to sell the unit. Why? Because if the estate sells it, you guys are going to get every nickel that's owed to you, probably. But
that
sounds good.
But
you're in a rush to get title to the unit. You're in a rush to foreclose. And understand that if you do, you're going to wind up owning the unit, and the next guy is not going to owe you anything.
But that's what we want. We do think the best interest is to have the condo own the unit and rent it out. Because the market now is terrible. The thing will never bring... the problem is it's going to have a burden now of two attorneys. The other attorney is going to have... Our attorney, by the way, in his paper, in his foreclosure paper, did not put down his fees. There was no total given the judge, in making giving us the judgment, put the total up in the corner of the document. So the foreclosure fee is missing our attorney's fees. And I've asked them repeatedly, what are the fees?
Right.
Norman, I'm going to jump in here real fast. I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want to let you know to push that forward and try to get your sale date is not in the best interest of you guys right now, because what you're going to have is you're going to run into a issue of marketable title. You're going to have a cloud on your title. Because if you haven't, if the property hasn't gone through probate and hasn't actually been dealt with, and you guys take title back to the unit, if you try to sell it at a later date or you try to do anything, you're never going to be able to get title insurance on it, and nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah, it's a good point. With a pending probate matter, a severe problem trying to sell the unit at some point later on down the road.
Well, here's what makes me suspicious. I think the attorney that showed up and said he's representing the parties who he doesn't know about. We definitely really established there are no heirs left. We
right.
went through a lot of trouble doing that. But I don't mind any excess going to the state of Florida. There's no will in this case either. But the problem is, when he had this order to get a locksmith and change the locks, we thought it would be done properly.
Right.
Instead, he had somebody break into the apartment, damage the door and the locks, and opened up a window. I think he got in that way. All kinds of bugs came in and left the door open.
Norman, I'm sorry. We got a bunch of callers lined up behind you,
okay,
but I'll tell you
right.
what, if you call us at the office...
Possible? Yeah,
call us at the office at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze, and I'd love to finish this up with you tomorrow.
Okay. But the only question, the main thing is it possible for this guy to get orders without our being present?
If you didn't file an appearance, if you didn't file an appearance in the probate case, the answer is probably yes.
And how about in the bankruptcy case for the other judge?
The foreclosure
case?
This
was a motion.
It
was a motion, and a motion you think would imply that... the parties would appear to discuss them.
Norman, I'm just going to let you know that if he is the trustee, and this is just coming from my experiences, and he is the actual personal representative and filed that, no judge in their right mind is not going to grant it. So even if you guys would have showed up, your foreclosure sale date would have been canceled. It's just like a bankruptcy. The judge would have said, that we're not going forward with this until this is resolved.
The probate matter is resolved, right.
Okay,
thanks for the call, Norman. We need to take a break.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll come back and take more of your calls. It's Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610 WIOD.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. for Cleveland Clinic Florida's Medical Minute. This week, renowned neurologist Dr. Tarnam Khan will discuss some of the symptoms, effects, and treatments of Parkinson's disease. That's Cleveland Clinic Florida's Medical Minute.
Save now at Walmart. Get 24 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper for only $5 each, plus thousands of rollbacks throughout the store. Hurry and feature. Walmart. Prices not valid in Wisconsin and Oklahoma.
Lauderdale Infinity, all new, now open and convenient to all of South Florida on the curve of US 1 at Sunrise Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, the only Infinity dealership on the east side. Come take advantage of our grand opening specials. You'll find the entire new Infinity line in a full line of certified pre-owned Infinity vehicles, plus our new world-class Infinity service center with service owners available for your convenience. Lauderdale Infinity, a Holman family-owned dealership celebrating 85 years on the curve at US 1 and Sunrise Boulevard, just a mile and a half east of I-95.
A shrinking U.S. dollar, bank collapses, rising inflation and unemployment. Your retirement dollars are at risk. Tune in to Gold Show with Jonathan Rose, Saturday at 4 p.m. to learn how to protect your wealth with gold, or call Capital Gold Group at 800-510-9594.
Save now at Walmart. Get 24 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper for only $5 each, plus thousands of rollbacks throughout the store. Hurry in for huge savings. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Prices not valid in Wisconsin and Oklahoma.
Tired of replacing expensive inkjet printer cartridges? Maybe it's time you replaced the printer you put them in instead. Switch to a Kodak printer and stop overpaying for ink. With other inkjet printers, the way to save money on ink is to print less. But Kodak printers only use fairly priced ink. Get a new Kodak printer this weekend at Walmart and join the thousands who've stopped overpaying for ink. Find out how much you overpay for ink at printandprosper.com.
The Chevy Spring Event, with great deals on award-winning cars, trucks, and crossovers, including Consumer Digest Best Buys like the Chevy Malibu, Silverado Half-Ton, and Traverse. Your switch to Chevy starts at ChevyDealer.com.
Condo Craze and HOAs on News Radio 610, WIOD. I'm Jerry Hester. And Norman, our last caller, mentioned something about being burdened by two attorneys, and I can feel for him because I'm burdened by two attorneys every Sunday afternoon, joined by Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. And yes, I do love every minute of it. I kid because I love it. You can give us a call at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397. Star 610 for AT&T Wireless customers, and they're stacked up. Let's get right to the phones. Let's talk to Judy in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Judy. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about quiet enjoyment. I live in a condo. My next-door neighbor is an incessant pipe smoker, and the smoke comes into my apartment. It's horrible. I can't even tell you that it's affecting my health and my quiet enjoyment. I can't have people into my apartment. It's embarrassing.
Really? Well, you know, it's so funny. I had to talk about this issue with my wife last night and my father-in-law while sitting eating dinner at Joe's. This topic came up. And I can tell you my take on the condo unit. Their documents already have a provision in there that state that the use of your unit cannot create a nuisance to any other unit. So if you're sitting in your unit and it's become impossible to live there because of the smell and the odor, then I'm telling you, yes, I think that the association has to do something about it. And if they won't, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I've written to the board numerous times, and they told me it's not a board problem, it's a unit owner problem.
Well, that...
To deal with the man, I tried to do it for years. I've asked him to open his window. He refuses. I've had an infant come to stay in my home, and my son said, please open your windows. My baby is here. He slammed the door. I mean, I don't know what to do.
Well, then it's time to take your next-door neighbor to court and perhaps your association to court as well. If you can't live in the house because, for whatever way the properties are built, maybe it's going through the air system, I have no idea. But the bottom line is your neighbor is making it impossible to live in your home. You have a right to take that neighbor to court.
And Judy, there are cases out there like that. I know there's one specific case. I don't have the case name with me right now, but where the court found that the cigarette smoke that came through, it was actually coming through from the downstairs up, and it was dyeing the curtains a yellow color. That's how much
well,
the people downstairs...
We talked about that like a month ago,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, and they held that was deemed a nuisance, and the people had the right to demand that they either stopped or started smoking outside because it was creating such a problem. You know, you're getting secondhand smoke, so...
Right. There you go.
And cigarettes are not as bad as pipe. Is just man's smoke.
Right.
20 hours a day.
Well, if you're interested in going through with it, give us a call at the office, 877-4-CONDO-CRAZE, because we got to get through with the next caller.
Yes, we
running
do.
Running out of time here.
Thanks for calling, Judy.
Thanks.
Let's talk to David in Miami Gardens. Hi, David. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs. You're right around the corner from us.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a problem with the condo that we have in Miami Gardens. What's happening is there's birds and pigeons that are causing unhealthy conditions within the apartments and in the area. I've written to the condo association. They said they did something and are supposed to clear up the problem. Nothing's happened. It's got worse. Where do we go from here with it?
Are you saying that there's pigeons that flock to the community and are creating a problem, you know, on the roofs or things of that nature?
Yeah, they land on the balcony, they nest, they poop all over the place. It's a real disgusting mess, especially for kids.
Right, I got to think.
I'm sure that the product is is toxic to kids, especially with respiratory problems.
I got to tell you, I don't know much about this issue, to be quite frank. Maybe you guys do.
Oh, thanks. You point in my direction.
But I got to think that there's some companies out there that knows, you know, how to put down some sort of a substance that keeps birds off of roofs.
I don't know if there's actually a substance, but, you know, they can put up the plastic. I've seen places that actually made, you know, not a net, but strung fishing line.
Oh, really?
Over an open area so that they wouldn't, it was like fishing line, some sort of monofilament.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that they wouldn't, it would scare them away.
And if you guys remember about, I think it was a month ago when we had the issue with the raccoon poop, the man from the call, that was the same. It's the same type of issue where if it's a health issue where, you know, you could have health concerns from it, the association should step up and try to prevent it from happening.
Right, there you go. Yeah, definitely I think your board has an obligation to at least look into the matter. No two ways about it.
Okay, and what they're doing is just absolutely refusing and doing nothing, okay? They said they did something, it didn't help, it did nothing. I went on, got an estimate on clearing up the problem on my balcony, and it was like $2,300 of cost, which is high, but if it was going to clear up the cost, that's what we would have to do. Some of that infestation could get to about 2 inches thick.
Well, now your board is on notice of the problem. If they don't do anything about it and you have a subsequent problem in the future, there's no doubt about it that they're going to be liable financially for your damages.
Okay. Can I speak to in the state? Is it a state claim, a Board of Health claim? Where do you think I need to go from here?
Quite frankly, I have no idea. Wouldn't even know where to guide you at this point. I would first call a company to see that, you know, if they can actually help you. And if they can, perhaps they know which governmental agency regulates them. I mean, I'm sure you can't put down things like poison and things of that nature that's going to kill the birds, because then someone's probably going to jail. So
you might
want to start out calling
22 and even a repeated call for the condo association. I'm not even getting calls back for it, and I've sent them pictures, I've sent them everything, all kind of documentation showing what I've done, including the estimate for the control of it, and nothing has happened.
Okay. Well, wish you luck. Again, you might want to tell the board, remind them of their fiduciary duty, and if they don't wind up taking proper measures and people wind up getting sick or their property getting damaged, that they can potentially face individual liability.
And David, I'm going to jump in here with Eric and say, just make sure whatever you do, you send them a certified return receipt. We stress that every single week, because then you have a record that you actually sent it in and it doesn't turn into a he said, she said issue.
If a court were to deem the actions of your board of directors as having a disregard for the life, health, or safety issues of unit owners, those members on your board can be found individually and personally liable. So that might be something you might want to remind them of.
Yeah, and thank you very much. Up to now, it's just been emails back and forth, and I will do it by return receipt registered mail. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Dave.
You know, I wish my neighbors downstairs would stop feeding the ducks.
Yeah, we have a lot of ducks in my old place.
Yeah, and they're not supposed to feed them, but, you know, people come in from up north or whatever. They have people come to, oh, look at the ducks. Let's throw some bread to them.
They're so cute.
And then you're walking down the ramp, and whoop, you're slipping, and you're on your butt.
Do you realize to a New Yorker, like, a duck is an exotic animal? Do you know that? How often do we see ducks up there?
You need to get out more, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
But 20
that's
pigeon
what I was
poop.
Gonna say. I was gonna say,
the
that's
pigeon
a lot
poop,
of poop
futures are definitely up this week, folks.
Like, maybe.
Maybe that's why the Dow is down.
Maybe I need to start cleaning some balconies or something.
Right. On that note, we're going to take a break and be back next Sunday at noon with more Condo Craze and HOAs. Don't forget, if we didn't get to your call, you can email us at condocraze@wiod.com or call the offices of Glazer and Associates at 877 the number 4 Condo Craze. Have a great Sunday. The Masters coming up at 2 o'clock right here on News Radio 610 WIOD.
Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. for Cleveland Clinic Florida's Medical Minute. This week, renowned neurologist Dr. Tarnam Khan will discuss some of the symptoms, effects, and treatments of Parkinson's disease. That's Cleveland Clinic Florida's Medical Minute.
The talk you want, the news you need. News Radio 610 WIOD, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Streaming live 24/7 at WIOD.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Lance with our top local story. Miami-Dade County Schools preparing for a massive sick out by teachers tomorrow. We'll have the details coming up. But first, Let's check in with Donna Rapato in the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel Casino Traffic Center.
Traffic looks pretty good out there, Randy. In Miami-Dade, though, just a heads up, FHP reports a disabled vehicle stuck in the center lane of the Palmetto northbound at Northwest 25th Street, so that might cause some trouble for you. In South Miami-Dade, the Snapper Creek Expressway is closed in both directions.